doing to your audience.
Well, I'm just being myself.
But they're doing everything other than throwing undergarments your way. Ladies be on you, Latera.
She knows that I desire a woman, my wife, to sleep naked. And she said, I will sleep naked with you. I want to be what I wish was represented to me.
So you guys have healed and have grown.
We get along.
This big embarrassment catapulted both of your platforms.
I was like, man, my followers ain't growing like this. You talking to your husband right here.
Ladies all day, baby. Okay, she said.
She got triggered by goodness. I need a woman that's willing to listen.
That is the reason why I didn't slide in your DM.
It is what it is. And then you just curb me if I take it somewhere else.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency, where I sit down with entrepreneurs who are doing amazing things. But more than that, I sit down for a transparent conversation with entrepreneurs who I consider friends and people who I'm also just getting to know, because I want to take a deep dive into their journey and let you guys sit and listen to it. And today, y'all, I'm so excited. I asked this gentleman to be on Full Transparency about 2 months ago. I had a friend connect us. It was so crazy how it happened. We'll get into this just a little bit later, but I manifested you. And I don't know if you even know that, but I got dear future wifey himself sitting right next to me, Lateris Whitfield. And I cannot say enough how grateful for you being here. I am.
Well, listen, thank you. I'm ready to chop it up with you.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're ready?
You know, I stay ready.
Okay. Okay. Let's get into it. You guys may know, first of all, may out the window, okay? You have the number one relationship podcast out here in these streets. I love your show so much because the dynamic is just so different across the board. You'll have comedians on the show. You have people who are, in the industry, gospel singers on the show. Yep. You have business people on the show. So you get to talk about relationships from several different perspectives.
Yeah. You struggle with that gospel thing, huh? Are you far removed from gospel?
Not far removed.
Okay, so I'll make sure you know the word gospel.
I was going to say in the church, but as I was thinking of some of the guests that you have, some of them are gospel singers, but you've had Sarah Jakes, who is a pastor.
Yeah.
But you've had such a dynamic of guests on your show. I enjoy watching it so much because I know that you are a devout Christian.
Yes.
And sometimes when you have shows like yours, podcasts like yours, people kind of take sides. Like, okay, this is all coming from a biblical place and I can't relate to it. You got to be perfect and blah, blah, blah. But then you feature some entrepreneurs and some people who are just insanely hilarious, right?
Yeah.
And so it gives a good overall picture about relationships and different dynamics.
I believe in living a balanced life. You know, like you said, I'm a devout Christian, love the Lord, but not everything I do is Christ-like. And so when I start the podcast, I highlighted those areas in my life where I needed growth in, been very transparent about those areas in my life. And so I want to be what I wish was represented to me when I was navigating those tough spaces in my life. And I kept, you know, being the church, we couldn't talk about certain taboo subject matters. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I wish that the church could just get real and have real conversations. Yeah. And so I just created a platform where we could do that.
So this is you controlling the narrative.
100%.
100%. And I love that so much. So I came across your podcast maybe a year or so ago where this clip had gone viral. You have Whitney is a comedian, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's a young lady, Whitney, and we're going to insert the clip here because y'all have seen it. She's sitting on the sofa just like this. She's talking to you and she's talking about like God will deliver.
Yeah. God can't disappoint you.
God can't disappoint you. Uh-huh. And as she's saying like God can't disappoint you, her wig is slowly falling off of her head.
He's a good father. He is, you know, and he has the best intentions for you. His plans are to prosper you.
Yeah.
Bring you to an expected end, but your life does not. Oh my God. Oh my God. Bruh. We gonna keep this? Nigga. I can't even reach him, bro. This is beyond embarrassing. Wait a minute. Bruh.
Don't be laughing, Ladarian.
Life be like, wait a minute. I'm gonna be. Everybody who's talking about mine is not. I do have a lot of hair, though. I'm so embarrassed. You know, golly, that was a good moment. Let me take my camera. Let me see what I'm looking like. Jesus.
And you had the audacity to keep it.
Listen, I asked in the episode, because when you're on the Dear Future Wifey podcast, I let everything be raw and real. If something happens, it just happens. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't do much of editing at all.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, I said, hey, can we keep it? She was like, Now her only qualms about it was originally that she said the N-word. She said, now the people in the church gonna know I say the N-word. And the second part was that people thought that that natural looking hair wig was her natural hair. Mm-hmm. And she would get props on it where girls would DM her and say, girl, I see you rocking your natural hair. She'd be like, thank you, sis. And so then she said, they gonna know I'm a fraud. And so
know.
She said, now you finna post this clip to know that I'm a fraud. But what was so great about that opportunity, the backstory is a couple of days prior to that, she was really depressed. She mm-hmm. was about to take a social media break indefinitely. Mm-hmm. She said she wasn't making any money on social media. She said it just seems like it's, you know, null and void. Just her aspirations to be a content creator and earn a living from it just wasn't working out. And she was tired of her 9-to-5 job that she had with the state. And she called me and she was like, I know you want to have me on the podcast soon, but I'm going to take a break. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's wrong? And you could audibly hear tears in her voice. And I said, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but listen, I want to fly you out to Dallas. She lived in Nashville. I want to fly you out to Dallas so you can do the Dear Future Wifey podcast. And I believe God is going to do something in your life that's going to change your life forever.
Ooh.
She said, well, Lateris, I'm going to lean on your faith right now because right now I don't have any. And then I said, all right. So she flew out that Saturday. I had just joined this church on that Sunday. She came to my new members orientation class, cracking jokes and all that. They're like, what is she doing here? And then she started talking about, I'm just here to making jokes or whatever. And then right after that, we went and did the episode. And then that moment happened. And, you know, to be honest, when I'm listening to my guests, I'm listening to reels. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, oh, that's going to be a reel. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be a reel. And in that episode, it wasn't many of those moments. So I was like, wow, okay, this is more therapeutic for her. Because yeah. She was, like I said, she was at a very down moment. And when that happened, I said, gold.
Golden.
I said, this right here. I said, there's no way I'm not going to let that live rent-free in people's head on the internet. I have to release that. And I asked her, she said, well, I've surrendered this interview to God. So
yes. So
I guess God wanted to happen. But let me tell you this. She had been DMing the wig company that she was wearing for the last 3 months, mm-hmm. trying to secure a brand deal with them. No, they wasn't responding at all. Just as God would see it, that wig company watches my podcast. So when the wig fell off her head, they left a comment on my YouTube channel that said, if y'all want to know how to pin down your wig, we'll be going live on IG tonight and we'll show you how to pin it down properly. Mm-hmm. So I called up. I said, these people trying to get clout off your wig, you know, who are these people? She said, no, that's the company that I've been trying to get a brand deal with. And I said, really? And she was like, yeah. So I said, let's see if they respond to me. Because she said they hadn't been responding to. I DM'd them. They called me in 5 minutes. And then we ended up securing a nice little brand deal with her.
So that moment, though, what I love about that moment so much is that sometimes you have to live your biggest embarrassments out loud.
100%.
For you to experience what's the greatness that's next for you. And what I love about that moment so much is, one, she used the N-word. So I could see, like, you were cracking up, but it was kind of like cracking up, right? So for you, it was like, yo, yeah. Not on my platform.
Yeah.
But then she used it. The wig falls off. You could tell that she was mortified in that moment. So two moments that could have resulted in a whole other experience,
yeah.
Right? But this big embarrassment catapulted both of your platforms.
Yep.
Like
yep.
Both of you grew wildly
yep.
from this moment.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
And see, I grew from a visibility standpoint from people referencing that clip to my podcast, but most of them, I didn't grow in subscribers from that. She grew in followers. She grew from 176,000 followers on Instagram to 800. She's at 800 and something. And I started managing her after that moment because she was like, I need management. And so I started helping her and whatnot. But I was like, in the same breath, I was like, man, my followers ain't growing like this.
Yeah, why is it always like it's
going? I was like, man, this is blowing up. People, all these platforms are sharing it. People, and to be honest with you, it bothered me so much that I would post, when I posted the reel, it maybe got like 2 million views or something. I have to go back and look at the original one. But then it was somebody, and I had like maybe 200 and some thousand followers on Instagram on Dear Future Wifey. And I got about, you know, maybe 2 to 3 million views off of that reel. This other person posted the reel, had 3,000 followers and got 16 million views off of the video in 2 days.
Talk about it.
I said, the math ain't math. The algorithms, like, they coming to betray me. Like, what is going on? But everybody else would be posting it, and it would just be going super duper. And that's when Instagram was actually paying, you know? And I was like, these people making money. And then they wouldn't tag me on it. Yes. So then I would DM and be like, can you please just tag my...
Put a mention in the description.
Just say where you got it from. Something. Please.
And they don't want to.
No, they just ignore you.
That's something that we deal with all the time as podcasters. And it's so frustrating because people see these clips and they'll be like, you're viral everywhere. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. My post isn't viral everywhere. Their post is viral everywhere.
Yep.
So frustrating. Like, I know that there's this one, even my business partner, David, he reposted somebody else's video on Facebook. And the video, like, within 24 hours made like $2,500.
Yeah, I saw that video he shared about that testimony.
Yes, made like $2,500. Listen, this is a note to monetize your content and reshare people's content. We appreciate it. Just tag us.
Just tag them, show them some love.
Yeah.
And then get your check.
So what did it benefit, like, going viral? Let's talk about it, because we have so many people who are watching this right now. This is the community of entrepreneurs. And a lot of people believe that you really have to go viral in order to have a successful business, right? It's all about going viral. Talk about how that impacts you or not impacts you.
It impacts you. They always say there's no such thing as bad publicity. All publicity is good publicity. And that just depends, because if you got famous off of something that you did that was criminal, then now the whole world is counseling you. But the benefit from that was visibility.
Okay.
It's free marketing. How much would it have cost me to pay for that level of advertising? To date, that video, and it's been 2 years, has garnered over 140 million views.
Yeah.
I had an Excel sheet where I was tracking down how many. I went until it got to about 100 million. I said, all right, you know, I said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was tracking down all these views or whatever, and I'll put a link to it and look, all right, they had 5 million. Snoop posted it, he's 6.6 million. Mm-hmm. And Shade Room posted it, it got this many million. And all these different people. And so I said, what that did for me, even though people didn't tag me, even though it didn't have my watermark on it, they'll have whatever person that screen recorded and they put their watermark on it. And then I start seeing them share the video. The one that went viral the most was one that people put their watermark on it. And I was just like, God. You know, but the reality is, I still appreciate the visibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's high visibility. When I'm somewhere at the airport, I'm traveling, people be like, you look familiar.
That's what it does.
And then I start speaking, they go, oh my God. And then they'll walk up to me at the church and they'll be like, N-word. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's that funny little stuff that happens.
They say it?
They say it, yeah. You know, I say it all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's just a part of my personality. So, it's recognition, it's brand recognition. And so I believe that a lot of opportunities come from that, just by visibility. And so I'm not mad at it at all. It's beautiful, but you don't have to go viral to have a successful business.
Mm.
But it does help to have some level of marketing, and you have to look at it as advertising. It's just advertising.
Yeah.
It's people that now have helped you have brand awareness behind your podcast. And what I started learning is, when I would have guests that came on my podcast after that, they'll come sit down and they'll make a joke about it. They're like, oh, it's that yellow couch. I got to make sure my wig on tight. You know what I'm saying? So it's, again, it's just keep on reaffirming the brand awareness. Or people will say stuff, the yellow couch. Mm-hmm. So at first that yellow couch was just there as just, I was waiting to get another couch. You know what I'm saying? I had this other couch in mind that I want. I said, I'm gonna have this blue couch. I want this blue effect on it. Even when I color grade my videos, I skew to the colder blue tones on my video. That's by design. I wanted a set that represented that, but I had this yellow couch that was in one of my, in one of my rooms at my studio that I said that I'll just use this for right now, but I'm gonna get this blue couch later. But then the brand awareness, people kept saying, that yellow couch, when you gonna have them on the yellow couch? When you gonna have them on the yellow couch? And I said, I can never change the color of my couch. Yep. It's the yellow couch.
It's the yellow couch.
So now I just do different variations of the yellow couch. I may get a new couch and it'll be another yellow couch. Mm-hmm. But again, brand awareness, how people now reference the Dear Future Wifey podcast as the yellow couch.
Yeah.
But again, you don't have to go viral in order to be successful, but you do have to be intentional, or even some of your unintentional moments that happen that will also help bring visibility to your product.
I became a fan after that moment that did go viral, a huge fan. I loved her personality and how she handled it, but as a whole, it took me to read your bio and I'm like, okay, he handled that so well, given how your bio reads, right? I became a fan. I started following you at that point and I said, I would love to be on his podcast one day. Like, I really would love to be on his podcast. And, but of course, like, you're doing big things. And to me, you are larger than life in that space. So my little DM isn't going to register.
Did you ever DM me? No.
No, because people be playing you in the DMs. You know what I mean? And I needed it to come across the way that it needed to come across.
Through a friend, through somebody that knew me.
Well, I needed it to be, because I'm, the ladies be on you, Lateris. I don't know what you out here doing to your audience.
Well, I'm just being
myself. But they're doing everything other than throwing undergarments your way. And I think you did a live with Dave where somebody might have thrown themselves at you.
She said, all she said was that she watched my podcast and she says that she knows that I desire a woman, my wife, to sleep naked. And she said, I will sleep naked with you.
Your girl got on the World Wide Web.
The IG.
The Instagrams is what she got on, okay? In a video that has seen tens of thousands of people at this point. And she said, I heard that you enjoy a woman who sleeps in the nude.
So I need a woman, baby, that can hear me to understand what I'm saying.
She said, I heard what you said, Daddy, and Mama's home. She naked, said, in fact.
And she said, I'm going to be in Dallas. She said, I'm going to be in Dallas in July, and I need you to ask me out. So that's where she went wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't go wrong when she said she'll sleep naked.
No. That's that flesh and blood didn't reveal that to her. That was prophetic. That was prophetic.
What?
Yeah, I need a woman. If I said that's what I need, that's what I need. So that means she was listening. I need a woman that's willing to listen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
She's submissive.
Yes.
She's submissive. She allows you to be a leader.
And she heard what the man of God said.
Heard what the man of God said.
What
and
he
was
needed.
Ready to deliver.
Amen.
Okay. So it wasn't on the World Wide Web,
no.
Specifically the Instagram.
No.
That she said, she confessed with her tongue.
That she heard what I said.
That she heard what you said. It was her being forward by way of saying, take me on a date.
Right. Because it's a quote that God gave me last year. Well, 2 years ago, I said, men should pursue and not persuade, and a woman should present and not pursue.
Men should pursue and not persuade,
and a woman should present and not pursue.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is a man should state his intentions. Hey, listen, I'm interested in you. I find you attractive. I would love to take you out sometime if you give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, well, I'm not interested. See, that's what's wrong with you women. You know what I'm saying? If you give me a chance, that's why you're single now. You won't give a good man a chance. And he starts going down that road. He's trying to persuade you.
That's persuasion.
Brother, if you're a good dude, miss that one. If she can't recognize your greatness, say, you know what? You're still beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And hopefully if you have a change of heart, you know, I'll give you another chance.
I'll give you, I'll present the opportunity
I'll
again.
I'll present the opportunity again. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I understand. I respect you. You're an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. And the present standpoint is back in the day, women would drop a handkerchief. Mm-hmm. It's the they'll drop a handkerchief if they see a guy that they're interested in. And the guy will walk up to her, pick up the handkerchief and say, excuse me, miss, you dropped this. And they'll lock eyes and they'll smile and he'll smile back at her. And they'll begin to converse. And in that dropping of the handkerchief, dialogue is started. A conversation is created and he'll probably walk her home or whatnot or give her a ride home or whatever or have conversation connect later. The proverbial handkerchief in today's society of social media, you may DM him and say, hey, listen, this is how I prefer a woman to drop her handkerchief with me.
Save big on all your back to school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
DM me, say, hey, listen, I watch your podcast. Your podcast is amazing. I love what you're doing. I'm going to go look at their social media and be like, okay, she cool. She ain't, you know, outside in every post. Mm-hmm. She ain't sitting up here a stone cold alcoholic. Every doggone picture, she drinking something. You know what I'm saying? She has a well balanced life. I'm looking at all that. See what she's talking about in her bio. See if she loves the Lord because that's extremely important for me. And then I will slide her DM back and be like, you know what? You have some very beautiful photos. I noticed a post that you made on August the 15th. You were at such and such. I've always wanted to visit that country or blah, 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 blah. And then we'll engage in conversation and we'll chat through the DMs until I feel comfortable to exchange phone numbers with her because I got real live stalkers out there. And Jeez. So we'll just talk. That's what I mean by simply she didn't come and say, you need to take me out. She just said, I like what you're doing.
And that is the reason why I didn't slide in your DM.
Well, you could have just slid in the DM and say you want to be on a podcast. That's a whole different conversation.
No, that's not how you break the ice. I sincerely wanted to come and say, I sincerely wanted to communicate the fact that I love what you're doing.
Yeah, say that.
But that's also the way that you say you prefer to be approached.
Well, it is what it is. And then you just curb me. If I take it somewhere else, and then you just be like, hey, listen, I'm not really interested in that.
So then I said, okay, well, should this be meant to be, we will be connected. And, you know, several months later, a friend of mine who is also a friend of yours.
Yeah. Shout out Talia.
Shout out to Talia. You're here in Atlanta.
Yep.
And she posts you on her Instagram. And I said, oh, my God, I want to meet him. Connect us.
Yep.
Without any hesitation, she puts us in a group text.
Yep.
And I tell you, hey, I want you to be on my podcast but at this time. Because when I first saw you, I didn't have my podcast yet.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have this podcast yet.
Yeah.
So when I first saw you, I didn't have it. So my thought was we had social proof. But I didn't have full transparency. Full transparency is like 16 months old or something like that. And that video was like 2 years ago. It was like right before.
Okay.
But not only that, I wasn't interviewing your type of guest at that time.
Straight
so we've evolved, right? Very straight entrepreneurs. And so anywho, the thought was, I want to be on his show. But by the time Talia connected us, I'm like, now I want you to be on my show, right? I think it'll be a great conversation because you are an entrepreneur and I want to hear all about this crazy journey you've been on.
It's been crazy.
She does that and we end up, you were so sweet, like out of the gate. So sweet. We ended up meeting and having dinner in Dallas. And I shared with you at that time some of the challenges and struggles that I have being a woman in this space. I have to be really, really careful how I conduct myself in certain situations.
Right, right.
And so that's what that was. I was telling Lateris that I have to be, like, my high has to be very polished. Mm-hmm. It can't be like, hey, or I can't be like, hey, oh my God, because this here, somebody thinks I'm flirting or whatever. And because I am in such a male dominated industry, I'm usually very polished with my first hellos and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't slide, you know, and I didn't need to because here we are.
Yep, there it is.
Here we are.
I guess the thing's supposed to be the way it's supposed to be.
Things are supposed to be the way they're supposed to be. I want to hear, though, dear future wifey, such an amazing name, Such an amazing concept. Why did you start this podcast?
I start the Dear Future Wifey podcast as a platform to heal publicly. I mismanaged the heart of my ex-wife. At that time when I did the podcast, I had been divorced 5 years. And I said I wanted to heal out loud. And I want to be very transparent and vulnerable. I said, journey with me as I discover, uncover, and recover love. And so in those three facets, the discovery phase of me is, who am I post-divorce? Who am I? Who am I with, as a Christian man who decided to file for divorce and divorce a woman that I thought I would spend the rest of my life with? And who am I after forgiving myself for breaking my vows and dishonoring my vow and stepping out on my wife and cheating on her? Who am I after that? Mm-hmm. And do I believe that I deserve love again? Mm-hmm. Who am I? Mm-hmm. And so going through that phase, because I was getting emails from even some of my family members, well, one of my family members, that said, you're not allowed to remarry unless your wife is deceased. And I was like, what? Well, in the Bible, it says this. And I'm going, okay, wow. So I'm hearing all these influences or whatnot. And I said, you know, God's grace is greater than that. But again, that discovery phase is for me to discover that for myself. And then I said the uncovery phase, which is me going around shaking trees and seeing what kind of fruit falls out. Seeing this a different climate when I got married at 28, it's a different rhetoric and ideologies that's going on in these social media streets around love and relationships. And women are just totally different now. And men are totally different now than where they operated when I was 28 years old. And now I'm 46. And so, who am I in this days? Uncovery. Mm-hmm. And then the recovery is where I reconnect with my missing rib and say I do. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, I'm going to take people through that journey and just be totally vulnerable in that journey and be real.
Does your ex-wife feel a way that you've built this platform on the back of an experience that was traumatic for her?
If she does, she hasn't said it. Matter of fact, on a positive standpoint, I just bought a house back in August and she was my realtor that represented me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, and so I was like, hey, you want to get this commission? She was like, absolutely. I said, I already found this house I want. And she was like, cool. And it was a new build. So she just came and she really had to do much of anything. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And just put her name on the application and all that stuff. And she got a nice little commission from it.
So you guys have healed and have grown.
Yeah.
And you get along.
We get along. We don't talk every day. We probably talk a couple of times a year on special things that may happen. Like, did you know so-and-so passed away? Or did you know so-and-so went to jail? You know, mm-hmm. those kind of conversations. But we have a very cordial relationship. And it's because of the fact that when I decided to divorce her, I said, God, teach me how to divorce her with grace.
Oh,
that was the most unconventional prayer to ever pray. Teach me how to divorce her with grace. And throughout that process, because we had got through a really great space after the affairs have happened, we went to counseling and all that, and I've grown from that. But then I just started looking at our marriage, and I was like, it just wasn't conducive. I just felt like we just couldn't thrive. Had a great friendship, but just didn't believe it could thrive. And so I decided to file for divorce, and of course, she thought I was playing. She was like, he got to be kidding me. And I was like, no, let's go meet with our counselors, and I'm going to let them know that we're going to get divorced. And so we went there, and we had that conversation with them, and she was like, still thought I was playing. They're like, just give 60 days. Which I did, and some things that I want to see change, it just didn't change. Mm-hmm. And so the reality was, I said, God, teach me how to divorce her with grace, because I said, we had a friendship. We're going to always be cordial with each other and be cool, but we don't have to be enemies. We don't have to hate each other. Let's have respect for one another and let's be cool. And that's what I kept cultivating and fostering. And so she, I've asked her to come on the podcast, which she won't do. She was like, I ain't finna help you.
First of all, the audacity of you.
Why would that be audacity?
Are you kidding
Audacious.
Me?
Why?
Did she say yes?
No.
So she thought so too.
well, she's private. So she's like.
Exactly. She's the like, audacity of you.
She's,
first of all, you cheated and you said affairs.
Yeah,
so this sounds like it was a habit for you.
No, it was multiple times. And it stopped about for 5 years.
A habit is something that you do over and over.
It was a habit that I broke.
You've broken it since then.
I broke it while we was married.
Okay, so it's audacious because you created this habit, you broke her heart, You said that you mismanaged her heart at that time.
100%.
You have now gone, you filed for divorce when she was willing to forgive and repair, right?
I don't believe she was willing to forgive. She was just willing to stay married. That's the difference.
Do you think she was willing to stay married because she didn't want to face divorce, or she was willing to stay married because she was completely into the relationship?
I think she didn't want a divorce, and she genuinely did love me. Mm-hmm. But
I'm sorry, what?
Well, because a lot of stuff that I would say that would uncover her, but I would just say that's the reason I want her on the podcast to just share her story. Okay. But I believe that she genuinely loved me, but she just wanted to stay married.
She just wanted to,
to stay married, but didn't want to change stuff.
So many people do.
Yeah. So that's the thing about it with a lot of people, is that I like to just get to cut to the chase and be like, this is a problem. Let's fix this. Mm-hmm. Together, let's fix this. Let's go to therapy. Let's go to counseling. Let's do whatever we have to go do and to fix it so that we can both make each other better. Mm-hmm. But she was like, ain't nothing wrong with me. And I'm like...
Are you suggesting that you cheated because something was wrong with her?
I cheated because I have a lack of integrity.
At that time.
Yes. Why I cheated.
Have you tested this though yet? Like, have you been in a significant relationship 100%. Since then, and you were 100% faithful?
100%.
Okay.
And she cheated on me.
Maybe I deserve for you to go and find somebody else. I
deserve. We're gonna do that Mario. I don't need to know if you're playing me. Keep it on the low.
Keep it on the low.
Cause my heart can't take it anymore. I ain't lying, but yeah. So that's what, and that was an opportunity for me to be able to see. That's what this feels like.
That's, oh my God, this actually stings a little bit.
Sting
so
a lot
when
of
it
bit.
Happened to you, were you like, I see what you did here, God?
100%. Because I'm very self-aware. I'd be like, okay, God, all right. And I was still trying to work it out with her. But of course, she would never admit that she was cheating. She would never admit that she was doing
that.
I got the Holy Spirit now. He showed me all kinds of stuff. Whether you admit it or not doesn't confirm whether it's factual. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be like, are you crazy? So I had to end up ending that situation. It was like a two-year situationship.
Okay.
Almost 3 years.
Have you been in something significant since then? Because now we're not only dealing with you having a lack of integrity at a time, but now we're dealing with a trust issue that you could potentially have. Now you need to demonstrate it in a new relationship.
Yeah, but I guess it was never no issues about none of that with the person I was going to marry. We had strong conversations back in 2022, met this woman in September of 2022, mm-hmm. Started talking real heavy around the month of November. It was October 31st. And then like November got real heavy. And then we saw all these confirmations, said we're going to get married. Schedule a date for September 23rd of 2023 and started counseling, premarital counseling in December the 3rd of 2022. And then by December 27th, she ended it because she was saying,
that's my birthday.
December 27th.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was my birthday present. broke up with me and hurt my doggone heart. But she broke up with me. She said, I've never met a man like you before. And it scares me that I can't be the wife that you need. And I said, what are you talking about? She had a lot of childhood trauma, though. She had some serious childhood trauma. Her mm-hmm. dad killed her mom when she was 7 years old. She just had a lot of stuff. But even in our counseling sessions, they was like, why are you sabotaging this? Like, this man is amazing. He knows how to care for your heart. What is it? She said, I feel like I can't. I got to go through therapy. Mm-hmm. So I respected her for that. I respected her for that so much.
Y'all had only been dating for 3 months.
Yes.
And had started having the conversation about marriage like 6 weeks in.
Yep.
Is there a possibility that there was some love bombing happening?
No. When you get to the point of, and I've had people on my podcast who know that they know that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, men know. When they meet somebody, they know if I can see myself married to this woman. Mm-hmm. Here at all time. I've did over 200 interviews on my podcast with people. And I'd be like, when did you know? Whether they decided to pull the trigger and marry her 6 months in or whatever. They say, the first date I knew it. Second date, I knew it. When she did this, I knew that that was going to be my wife. And that was in the first month. And you'd be like, wow. And they like, but I had to get my money together. I had to do this together. I had to clean up some loose ends. I had this other chick I was dealing with. So I had to go ahead and gracefully have her depart and all this. They'll tell you all that. And I and women have heard that so many times on my podcast where people, men know when they know. And mm-hmm. so with her, it was stuff that I couldn't even manufacture myself. It was stuff that she would tell me. She'd say, I wrote in my journal 2 years ago that my husband would say what you just said, and she'll read it. We was keeping track of it. It was 26 confirmations. Mm. She kept, and you said this, and I said my husband would do this, and you did this, and my husband will speak like this, and you said this, and how would you know this? And how it was so scary that it was like, okay, where it made me have to go, am I talking to my wife? You know what I'm saying? And she would say stuff to me like that, and I'd be like, okay, this is deep. Mm-hmm. And so it began to be all those confirmations. And then when we started going through pre-premarital counseling, the first meeting that we had with the counselors, they turned and they had counseled her before when she was interested in, when she was considering marrying this other guy, that by their third session, they told her to run from him. And they never ever told her that he was the one for her. They just kept saying, we got the jury still out on this. We need to check this out. Mm-hmm. But then with me, they said, we were keeping notes on everything that y'all said. They said, you talking to your husband right here. And she was like, how would you know? Why would y'all say? They said, this man has said this. He's done this, blah, blah, blah. You need this in your life. He can fill this gap. He's blah. They just started saying all this stuff. And then it didn't help that they were prophetic as well. So they told her one day, they told her in that moment. I had told her the week before. I said, I told God that if he ever gives me another chance at love, I'm not going to mess it up. We had this counseling session the next week. They, in the middle of them talking to us, they stopped. She said, hold on. I hear God saying something. God is telling me that Letarius said, if you ever give him another chance at love, he's never going to mess it up. I just started crying. Tears started streaming down my face. And she looked, she said, did I tell you he said that? She said, no. She said, are you sure? She said, no. When you booked me, you just sent the email. We didn't have a conversation. She said, how do you know that? And then she says, I'm prophetic. And she said, and Letarius is too. And then she said, you told me that you were prophetic. I said, I'm very prophetic. And then she said, how do y'all know this stuff? And I just sat there. I didn't say a word. I just, tears just streaming down my face, because it was like God literally confirmed my heart's desire. Mm-hmm. Whoever says I do to me and I say I do to her, when I tell you she's getting a version that no woman has ever have gotten the privilege of having in their life.
But those counselors were obviously wrong.
No, because we all have a yes or no. We all have a decision to make. I can give you $1 million right now and say, take it. You're like, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, got to be some strings attached. No, I just want to get this to you. No, I don't trust you. Donnie, here's $1 million. Just take it. God told me to give you. No, I don't want it. I ain't going to. That just seems strange. I'm not going to do it. And I can keep telling you to take this $1 million. Again, now I'm starting to persuade you to take it. Mm-hmm. And you say, mm-mm. And you walk away from it. And then you go complain to God 5 years later, talking about, gosh, I wish I had the extra $1 million. God said, well, Letarius was trying to give it to you 5 years ago. Nah, I ain't trust Letarius. Mm-hmm. He like.
The struggle that a lot of people have, though, is knowing that it is from God and not from their own will, right? So as you were talking, I was thinking about a situation that I had recently been in. Met this guy, and the night that I met him, he said, I was wearing a white shirt, and he said, I'm gonna turn that white shirt into a white dress. I said, oh, he's talking. He's talking major right? And so he lives out of state.
You said that was the first date.
That was the night that we met.
Oh, the night that y'all met. Okay.
The night that we met. So I was out with some friends and I had gone outside. We were leaving this establishment. I had gone outside to wait for the car. And two of those friends went to the restroom. And on the way back, they see him. I'd seen him, but, you know, we didn't say anything. We didn't talk about him, nothing. On the way back from the bathroom, one of those young ladies brushed up on him, right? Like to give him a signal, like, what's up? And I don't think he responded the first time. And she walked back and brushed him again. And he turned around and he's like, I'm really flattered, but your friend in the white shirt, I need to meet her. And so she brings him outside to meet me. And she tells me the story that happened. And so he's like, look, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to turn your white shirt into a white dress. And so I'm like, that was cute. All right, here's my number, you know, whatever. So we're hanging out and we're getting to know each other. And things are moving very quickly. And it's making me nervous, extremely nervous. I don't believe that there's a time period that you have to date anybody. I do believe that things can happen very quickly, but also I have great discernment. I have outstanding discernment. And I believe that I am also prophetic. As we're navigating this space, I have this list. I got a long list with Terrace, and we're about to talk about it. Mm. I have this list. It's 3 pages, right? And it's not the kind of list that you think. It is a list that outlines what I desire my experience with my husband to be.
Okay, that's good.
Okay?
That's good.
And so it's just, it's the way he speaks to me. It's his character. It's the way he touches me. It's the way that he responds to me and, you know, things like that. And so I'm checking these things off like, okay, look at him on this list. All right. And it's 3 pages. I think I counted one day and it's like 92 things on this list. Right. And he's checking them off. But God is saying, like, just keep getting to know this gentleman. And at this point, it's been a couple of weeks, but he's quickly checking these things off. And there's a part of me that feels like this could either be love bombing or this could be me needing to pay attention to what my gut is telling me. I didn't know what it was, but I knew there was something. Okay. So I am not the type to just invite men into my home very early on, right? I'm really private. And so because he lives out of state, he lived within driving distance. He lived in Tennessee. You could just drive up the road to Tennessee. This particular date that we had gone on, I said, okay, this is the date that's going to tell me what I need to know. God, put it out in the open, make it clear, show me, because I don't want to fall for no foolishness, right? So we go on this date and we have this amazing date, but I don't get the answer. As he's dropping me off at home, I'm confused in the mug, Latarius. So I invite him up. I said, I don't do this, but I'm going to invite you up. Because I didn't need another 2 weeks to go by. And we're having these conversations on the phone. Because a lot can happen emotionally in 2 weeks,
yes,
right?
Yes, it can. I'm telling you.
So we get upstairs and I say, let's play this game. Shout out to the guys Harley initiated. We played their card game. And it's a great icebreaker. And when the questions are uncomfortable, I'm like, I didn't ask it. The card game asked it.
Yep.
Like, you got to answer the question now, right? So we're going through and if it was his turn to go first and then I answered, he'd be like, oh, wait, I didn't really understand the question the way that you understood the question. Let me do mine over. So after the third time, I'm like annoyed with this because you're changing your answers
based on you,
based on what I'm saying. So I'm starting to get like, oh, you're a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to say whatever you think is going to work. So, we get to this one question and this man says, he gives me this answer that is completely unfathomable.
Oh Lord.
And I said, I start picking up the cards. I got the cards right here we're sitting on the sofa like this distance.
You start packing up.
I start packing these damn cards up. Like, let me put this up because now you think you about to play in my face. Right. And I had told him because because the drive for him was 2 hours. When I invited him up, you know, usually he goes to bed early. So I said, look, if you get sleepy, like it's important for me to play this game. If you get sleepy, you can sleep in my guest room on the sofa, right? When I tell you, I said, it's time to call it a night. You want me to get your shoes or?
You did not kick the man out, did you?
If I told you the story, you would understand why I had to kick him out. But it was in that, like I asked God for a sign that day.
It was the sign.
And that was the sign. So my question is, how do you know? It's because he's checking the boxes.
Yeah.
And had I not done this exercise, he would have still been checking boxes.
I say you know when it comes to full term. Just like I say that at the end of the day, we still have a choice to stay in the part of the journey. And the journey being that as we were dating, we didn't have to get married September 23rd. She came up with that date. We didn't have to even have conversations around marriage as much as we did. But she started saying, hey, we were in the car one day and she said, are you really trying to marry me? I said, yes. I don't believe you're trying to marry me. My mom called me right when she was saying that. I clicked my mom on three-way. I said, hey, mom, meet so-and-so. I said, she's like, oh, okay. I said, you already know that name, right? She's like, yeah. And then I said, and he said, why? He said, because you told me about it. I said, what did I tell you about it? You said, that's your wife. And I said, let me tell you something. I don't have time to play. My flaw is I'm extremely blunt. I had to learn how to stop being so blunt. I'll just say what it is. I had to learn to say stuff with grace. But I said, you're always going to know where I stand. And so then that scared her. She was like, oh my God, okay, you are really serious. Cause she would deal with guys. She had a habit of guys always coming to her saying, you're my wife, you're my wife, you're my wife. Mm-hmm. I met her and said, you have to be determined. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to get to know you. And this is how I date. I believe in data collection. I believe dating is simply data collection.
It's data, baby.
That's it. We just sitting down, talking, tripping out, seeing if we can foster a friendship first. Because I always say I want to go from friend to fiance. Mm-hmm. So I want to foster a friendship with you. And then that can evolve into a fiance. Because I ain't going to have no girlfriend. I'm too old for that. I ain't gonna be like, this is my girlfriend. No, this is my fiance. Other than that, you just the homie. Or something. We just ain't finna play those games. And so that's what we were doing. And so when I met her, it was just like this. She was like, yeah, I'm talking to this other guy. And I said, yeah, I talk to different women and it is what it is. And she's like, cool. So it was just great and healthy as it began to change and started being like, okay, this is kind of getting exclusive. I started calling all the girls. I said, let me make a phone call. Called up every girl I was dealing with at the time, said, I met the one. It was nice. It was a nice ride. Thank you so much. And they was like, oh, God, I'm so happy. Because I handle people very gently. So I was like, I met the one and, you know, this is this. And they're like, man, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. And then that was it. Call my accountability partners, the people who I'm accountable to, pastors, all that. She called up people. We all on three-way calls. They talking, they vetting. They're like, okay, that's the one, you know. And so we all had these conversations. So it was like, all right, marriage is a choice. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have to get married. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. And so she had the right to make the choice of whether or not she wanted to continue on down that path. Or like she said, go get healing because all these triggers. It was the first time she said she could admit that she got triggered by goodness. She got triggered by somebody being around them that didn't have ulterior motives. Like, I don't need nothing from you. Like, mm-hmm. This is who I am. It ain't like I'm lacking for women. Like, it ain't like you the only woman that want me. That ain't the testimony. So it was just simply of, this is who I want to marry. That's not my testimony. So the point about where you laughing,
that ain't the problem. Be clear. Ladies all day, baby. Okay, she said, Dallas, nude, in bed, I'm ready. Heard it, take me out.
Take me out in July. I'll be there at the end of July. That's what she said. And so the reality was that. So I was just like, because I don't get excited quickly. I was just like, let me get to know you. Because like I talked about earlier, that girl that that broke my heart, that cheated on me. Mm-hmm. It was like that with her. I was like, okay, she seemed like, okay, she seemed really solid. She's saying some stuff. And I said, hold on. It didn't take long for me to start figuring out the stuff wasn't, the actions wasn't lined up with those words. Mm-hmm. And so I started saying, now let me feel this. And then you start seeing the true character of somebody. And what I do when I date somebody, I lead with all my flaws. I'll be like, this is what I am. I cheated on my ex-wife multiple times. I did this. Because you may have a thing in your mind where you're like, I would never date somebody that ever cheated. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Well, I ain't the one. The woman that marries me have to have grace for my past because I'm going to have grace for her past. So I lead with that to be like, I'm going to tell you everything bad about me. And if you can handle that, you go, okay. Then you'll get to know all the wonderful characteristics about me and then experience that. And you'll be like, okay, this is a real dude. And that's what the therapist was saying. They was like, he's very emotional aware. I said, because I ain't got no time for no games. Like, I know the value of marriage.
But are you in a rush?
No. I've been single for 9 years since my divorce.
But not by choice.
Yes, it's always by choice.
You would have been married twice, Letarius.
I would have been married once. The other girl I wasn't trying to marry. That was too close to after my divorce.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just somebody I was, you know.
Somebody you were what?
It was a situationship, all right, Donnie?
What happened in the situationship? Business.
We have sex. Okay. And we have titles of we something like a relationship, but we have a commitment to one another, but we don't have a full commitment. That's what it was.
A commitment.
That's what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
And then you have these understandings where like, all right, so since we exclusively with this, don't be sleep with nobody else. I ain't got to sleep with nobody. I'm satisfied here. We cool. That's what we do. But we not ready to be in a relationship. We both was out of marriages.
Can we really say, because I also communicate that I'm single by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not because there is a lack of men who are interested. I wouldn't call it a problem, but when men experience my energy on an intimate and personal level,
They want you.
They want you, girl.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Uh-huh.
Be clear, baby. All right. They be wanting you, girl. But hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside. So because of, you know, that, like, I know that I could be with someone, right? You're technically single by choice, but I would also choose to be married.
Would you really?
Absolutely. I desire marriage.
Okay.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I'm saying, because you're saying, like, you have different guys, just like you putting on me. If you have guys that's pursuing you. Well, let me ask you, are they pursuing you?
Yeah, there are men who
are pursuing me. Okay, they're pursuing you. Is it that you got this 92 checklist. Do they have to fill all 92 of those?
You want to hear this checklist, some of it?
Yeah, let's hear some of this.
Do you have a checklist?
No.
Why?
I just write letters to my future wife and put it in the box. At the end of each episode.
Well, isn't
but
that
I know what it is, but it's not literally written down like bullet points.
Okay. So I have written letters to my future husband.
Okay.
But I also, because I was in my last serious relationship, kind of threw me for a loop a little bit when it ended. I needed to reset and just get super, super clear on the man that I wanted and needed, because if I'm being totally honest, and I'm scrolling looking for this list, it's in my here we go. If I'm being totally honest,
or fully transparent,
if I'm being fully transparent, I wasn't the woman he needed, and he wasn't the man that I needed.
Now that's good clarity.
Okay. And so I had to sit down with myself, and it wasn't because he was all the things. He attractive and successful and, you know, fun sometimes. And he was those things.
Fun sometimes.
Sometimes. But it was more about the experience that I want with a husband. And so, like, I'm reading from it here. You'll see that's
and you hand wrote it out.
I hand wrote. This
that's
is in
good.
My journal.
That's good.
My husband is a leader. My husband is extremely smart. And I'm only going to read some because y'all got to mind some of your own business.
Yeah. Okay? And then some of them will start trying to be that for you.
Mm-hmm.
They try to court you.
My husband is doing God's work. My husband loves me so much. Let's see. My husband is gentle with me.
Good.
And because these are things that I noticed, like, in relationships that I've experienced or things that I have seen other people experience, like, ooh, I don't want that.
Yep.
And my last relationship, that particular person wasn't necessarily gentle with me. And I realized, like, I need somebody who's going to be gentle with me. My husband has impeccable hygiene. Something else. My husband is easy to talk to. Like, these are the kinds of things that are on. My husband is great with money. Because you can make all the money, But if you suck with money, we still broke, right? let me see. My husband teaches me new things and helps me grow. That's something. My husband likes luxury but appreciates simplicity. My husband enjoys dating me regularly. Like, these are the kinds of things. My husband celebrates me privately and publicly.
Good.
My husband is not in competition with me.
Good.
Like, these are things that, again, my experiences taught me. And there's a list of who I am as a wife too. So before anybody says, well, what about you? We got that list right now. We're talking about this.
Exactly.
Man.
I don't know why people do that.
My husband is charitable. Very important for me because I struggled with this in my last situation. My husband is liked by our peers. My husband is reasonable, right? These are the kinds of things like this. Oh, my husband is excited to see me when he comes home. You know how many people are sitting in that driveway because they don't like who's on the other side of the door?
For
these
hours.
Are the kinds of things. My husband speaks to me with love. What's another one? I'll give you two more. My husband is compassionate. My husband is a problem solver.
Give me 93.
93? That's my husband is compassionate. My husband enjoys having me around his friends.
Yeah.
My husband is easy to like. This is the experience that I want with somebody that I am going to commit to, because the I do part is easy. I could have, like, I don't necessarily believe in the one, and I haven't in a very long time, because I have dated a lot of people, meaning I have gone on dates with a lot of people, right? A lot of people. And
dang, Donnie, how many? He was in a lot of people.
Look.
She said, let's be clear. She said, hey, a lot of dudes be in her DM say she pretty.
She pretty. No, I have gone on dates. Like, I haven't been in relationship or in relations with a lot of people, but I have gone on dates with a lot of people, right? And there have been several people. I've been engaged to be married before.
How many times?
I've been formally engaged once, and then my last relationship, we were on our way to that. We had just purchased a home and all these things, right? And let me clear it up before he sees that he bought the house for us, okay?
Yeah. No, we didn't purchase the home.
Because at the time, the house was for us, but at the time, I was also purchasing my mom a home, and I couldn't go on both loans.
Okay.
So anyway, what was I saying? I've dated several people, and honestly, there have been many moments of I could marry him. I could see my life with him. I enjoy him. I this, that, and the other. And I've consistently been in long-term relationships, and it just takes different things. I've dated a lot long distance too, which is, you know, and I don't even want to get into why I did that.
That's my last relationship. It was long distance.
Yeah, but I dated long distance to be safe. I dated long distance to be safe from marriage.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. We're going to save that for Dear Future Wifey.
We're going to save it for Dear Future Wifey.
Yeah, that's good.
And so there was a lot of time spent there, but I don't really believe there's the one. I believe a lot of people could be the one for you. Like, with all of this energy and all these spirits that are walking earth, I don't believe that there's just one. Or maybe there's a very small percentage of people who find the one that God said, this person is for this person only. But if that were true, how do people remarry?
And so that's my school of thought, is that I don't believe that there's the one. I believe that there's somebody that's best suited for you. And so when you find relationships, so I have this whole course that I did, and it's called Identifying, but it's teaching you to date by your core values. Everything you just listed there was core values. Mm-hmm. Unless you skip the stuff that he has to be 6'5", he has to be this, you know what I'm saying? So when you start talking about preferences,
you
that's a whole lot different.
Scan my list. Okay.
Look at the list. Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you putting my husband?
Yeah. I'm not.
How long did it take you to write this?
So what I do is I leave in when I journal, I have like if you scroll to the other side, you'll see my personal affirmations. And I'm very open about it. I taught a whole class with my affirmations. But whenever I start a new journal, I leave like the first 15 pages blank for me to add to things that I'm learning about myself as I'm evolving. And there are things about me, and there are things about who I'm going to spend my life with. And I even have it like the kind of relationship I want with my mom and want with my daughter. Like, I'm just super intentional. Why are you looking like that? You threw my phone back at me.
it's amazing.
Is it a good list or?
It's an amazing list.
Okay. Because when I tell people that I have a list, it's like, there you go.
Because they tell you, because the list that people normally hear is the superficial list. It's a list of preferences. That's a list fully of core values. And I've never in my life seen somebody write down core values. Mm-hmm. It's literally what I'm teaching people. And I'm going, what is your, you wrote a list on core values. That's, I don't see nothing superficial on there.
That's all that's important to me. That's all that's important to me. And I think sometimes, like I say, people are always in my DMs or approaching or whatever, and that's cool. But I think I give something different than what's here, right? People assume that because you're successful or because my circle is full of, you know,
successful, wealthy dudes, that's what you want. You want some athlete
and
you
women. Want some, yeah. I gotta be, first of all, let me be clear. I'm too old to be dating somebody's athlete. All right. If y'all still on the field, I am out of your league. I have aged out. I have aged out of the NBA players, the NFL players, and the Major League. Okay.
Baseball.
Major League Baseball. They stay a little longer.
They stay real
long. Hint, clue, clue. No.
So I'm like, well, let me run that back real quick.
Let me run that back. But seriously, like the things that I think that the internet has made people, social media specifically, has just made people so focused on the wrong thing. And because I look a certain way and these are my friends, she must be that.
Yep.
You didn't see any of that.
At all.
And this is my personal journal.
That's your personal list between you and God.
Between me and God. Oh, I just shared it with you.
Yeah.
And some of it with y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I'm surprised by that.
Really?
Yes, 100%. Why? Because I would assume the same thing that some other people assume.
That makes
because
me sad.
I know it should, but the reality is that again, by assumption, you look at a woman that's beautiful, successful, and single, mm-hmm. and then you go, okay, now Donnie is pushing close to 50.
You better shut up right now.
What?
I will kick you out of this studio.
You're not pushing close to 50?
I am 45 good years old.
Pushing close to 50.
First of all, let the camera show.
Yeah, she want to show
this
her body.
This is what close to 50
she
looks
wanna
like.
She want to show them legs. That's
I'm not,
what she
there's,
show.
There's, a, she wa- there's a piece of a thigh showing, but all let legs. The camera show
her legs.
That I embrace age as a blessing and a
gift.
And
you should.
And this is what close to 50 looks like. So yes, you're right. Yes. I am pushing 50.
Thank you.
Okay.
We just want to make sure we say
with
that.
A grown daughter.
With a grown daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Close to 50. It's the truth. We just gonna embrace the truth.
Okay.
But you're single.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is it either becomes a situation where we assume mm-hmm. that because you're so successful, you really don't need no man. And you really don't want no man. You know? And it's like, you know, you're so career focused that you don't even have time for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's left to be assumed. And then if it's a man that comes into your life, the only way he's going to get your attention is if he could subsidize your lifestyle financially, where your money looks very, it pales in comparison to his, and you don't have to work so hard. So it's like that's the whole assumption, especially when you get, which I hate the term boss chick, but when you get those type of women, it's like y'all are so career focused. Y'all know how to grow businesses. You know how to, you know, not only do you know how to grow businesses, you know how to help other people grow theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But then from a maternal standpoint, you grew your daughter, but then how do you grow a family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that seems like it just by assumption, pushing 50 is not of importance to you. Because so, what's important to you, you'll go pursue. Why your middle finger? Right?
I have something in my eye.
Okay, because it looked like your middle finger.
That's the finger that I prefer to put in my eye.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. And then you just threw it at me. And you, yes. just threw it at me. It's not very holy, Donnie.
So I know that you specifically, and so many other people probably think this, mm-hmm. but you came around at the latter time. Like I met you off of the tail end of a 3-year relationship,
okay.
right? And before that, I was in a 3-year relationship.
Oh.
And before that, I was single for about 2 years, but was in a 2.5-year relationship. And so I'm always
in a relationship.
In a relationship. I am in a, and I've only been single at this point for about 1.5 years.
Okay.
So I'm not what people think, but because I'm so private,
yes,
and I don't show everything,
we don't get to see all that.
You don't get to see it, but I don't understand. Like, some people have been around for a long time, and maybe because my social media was hacked, so you don't get to see pre-2020 Donnie. Okay. This just looks like who I am for real. But they saw who my man was at mm-hmm. that time. Like, you weren't here during that time. You caught me, you know, while I am a single woman. But also, like, I have taken the last almost 2 years to really get to know me,
which is important.
I'm not a relationship hopper. Like, I'll be in a relationship and then I'll probably be single for almost a year, and then I'm in another one, and then it's like almost a year, and then I'm in another one. And I believe it's important to date. And when you are in long-term relationships, when you exit it or end it, I still think there's a period, like, you've evolved in that relationship and now you've noticed something new about yourself. And I think there's a season that you need to spend, even though you're ready, you still need to date around just a little to test the theories of what you've learned 100%. In these other situations.
Yeah.
So that's like where I am right now. Do I desire marriage? Yes. I don't know why you keep accusing me of being this workaholic, because I'm not. I think you think that because my phone is on do not disturb.
Pretty much.
My phone is not on do not disturb because of work. My phone is on do not disturb because I don't want to be disturbed. It has nothing to do with work. I am no longer in my season of...
I don't want to be disturbed.
I don't want to be disturbed. It's really simple. So really, and I've explained this, I think, to you before, but just in case I didn't, really, I have terrible sleep patterns.
Okay.
And I don't get to sleep a lot. And now, especially in recent years, since my dog is elderly, he's a senior citizen, and he's dealing with some ailments, he paces a lot at night on my hardwood floors, and it keeps me up like an infant. So I keep my phone on do not disturb because in the event that I am blessed to receive a nap,
you're going to take full advantage of it.
I'm taking full advantage of it. And if my phone rings during that time, that's when you discover a different side of me. All right. So to preserve relationship with people that I care about, my phone is on do not disturb because I don't ever plan a nap. Like, I'll literally be sitting right here and the next minute I'm like,
knocked out.
Yeah. I am no longer. There was a season that I worked 12 to 18 hour days. But so I was also in a relationship.
Hours. Oh, you was?
Yes. We both worked 12 to 18 hour days. We loved it. I was in that season. I have been fortunate enough.
18 hour days.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, there are seasons that you go through when you're doing that. And I was so focused on building a business because I have never felt like I couldn't. I've never felt that I had the option to not work so hard. I've always taken care of myself, even in relationships. I've always provided for myself. I've been treated very nicely and gifted very nicely, and people have done very kind things for me. But when it came to how I lived and survived and my mom and my daughter, that's on me. So I've never been in a situation where I felt like I couldn't. Also, I don't believe, and this is just me personally, how you live your life is on you. I don't believe that I should be a man's financial obligation until we are married.
Of course.
So I took ownership for me. So in those seasons, I had to work hard. Fast forward to now, I have been able to build a business that is sustainable, and I don't work as hard anymore.
Good.
Right? I choose to do what I do because I'm alone a lot. So if I'm not working, I'm bored.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That makes sense. That's fair. And so I apologize for my assumption.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Out of pocket. Yeah. Loud and wrong.
Well, no, it's an assumption. But I'm wise enough to ask the question.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, so what is it? Mm-hmm. Because again, I just assume that it's not, especially when you even look at your dating history, and we'll talk more about this on Dear Future Wifey, but you'll be in long-term relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at the age that we are, I just don't believe that it just takes that long. Like 2-3 years.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
So my last relationship, neither of us were looking for a relationship. And he was the first person that I dated in my city. So he would have been the first person that I really considered marriage with, right? He was the first person that I dated in my city. Several things happened then. as he tells the story, he planned to propose at a time, and then COVID happened and these things happened.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there were just things that I believe, like, he was in cahoots with my friends and was planning to propose on my birthday one year, but I actually had COVID. And so it wouldn't have been that long, but now that COVID happened and we're really spending all this time together,
some other stuff got revealed.
Some other things got revealed, and I'm not taking away from him. He's a great guy, and I'm a great woman. We just were trying to fit a square into a circle.
Yeah, and I always say he had to be great if he got your attention and had you say out of your mouth, you just said that's somebody the first person really that you considered marrying.
Yeah, so for
that
sure.
Means he had to be great.
Well, for us on paper, we looked amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, for us on paper, we looked amazing. I believe we shared some similarities in our core values, but how we operated on a day-to-day basis weren't in alignment. And we tried to be, like, we did all the things. We tried counseling, and we did the journaling, and we talked about our lists and all those things. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I also... to his credit, I also evolved a lot in the relationship, and I became a woman that I don't think he expected me to become. Okay. And that may have presented a challenge to deal with. And I didn't become a bad woman. I grew a whole lot, but now who that woman is different. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not sure that I don't know that he expected that. Right. And I was. And even, you know, even he grew in a way that.
Did you like his growth?
Positioned a challenge for me.
Oh, so it was a challenge.
Yeah, our relationship was a challenge, which is why it's over.
Well, like, what happens, and that's one thing that when we think about dating and marrying somebody, is that who you married at 20 is not the same person at 30, and not the same person at 35 and 40, because as you begin to grow, evolve, who am I with my mom present in my life, and then my mom is now deceased? My whole life looks different. Mm-hmm. The way I see stuff different. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day starts hitting different. Every holiday seems different, which is why I try to provide a safe space for my friends. I have a good friend who just lost his mom a couple of months ago. And when Mother's Day came around, I called him and I was like, bruh, I know this is hard. This is your first Mother's Day without your mom. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, man, thank you. And I was like, I just called to just say, I'm thinking about you, brother. I'm mm-hmm. praying for you. But to be aware that he's now a different person. He lost his dad and his mom. Now he's out in this world by himself. He's been divorced. And so he's single. And without that mom and dad, it's like, it's just a lot. And so in marriage, we have to get to the space. And of course, we have to have enough core values there to build from that. But to have enough space for each other to where we grow through the different stages with each other and provide grace for that person. And that's why I believe vow renewals are so important, because it's like,
for sure,
I still want to marry you again. You know, it's been 10 years.
We're confirming that, right?
Yeah,
you still
want to marry you, because right, you're a totally right, different person than, you know, when I married you, you know, 10 years ago. And I think it's important.
And for clarity, it's not just growth. It was in the beginning, we both presented in ways that were not ideal for each other.
Oh, okay.
But we looked so great on paper. We looked so great on paper, and we sincerely got along in the beginning that it made sense to give it a shot. Also, at that time, I was trying something different. And I think he was trying something different, right?
What's the difference?
Well, I felt like I grew.
No, I'm talking about, you said you were trying something different. What was the difference?
That was my first in-city relationship.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, maybe it's supposed to.
In-city relationship.
Maybe it's supposed to. But we were both in a situation. And again, from the beginning, things presented like, what I love so much about that particular situation is, though some things presented that said this might not be ideal, where we bonded was both of us were super intentional about wanting to evolve.
Good.
So it was like, this is fun.
That's good.
Like, this is the first person that I've dated that's this intentional about growth.
That's
like, you're
beautiful.
Sending me personal development and
beautiful.
Scripture and things like that. But
you
it was
the scripture stuff.
It was some core value things. And it was like what I wrote about. It was not him as much as the experience that I really wanted. Like, things like being liked by our peers, being kind and being gentle, and, you know, those things.
So were was that list created after that relationship or before that?
It was throughout. It started before that relationship, and I continue to add to it. I might add something to it today, but it's a rolling list because as you get older and as you have different experiences, different things stand out to you.
That's good. That makes all sense in the world.
Different things stand out to you. What's your type?
I don't have a type. I always say you got to divorce your type and marry your core values. From a core value standpoint, I want a woman, a guy. There's a lot of stuff on that list that is exactly the things that I desire. That's why I just threw it at you. I said, get this out of my face. I said, what? You know, you had on there about being a good father. You know what I'm saying? That's extremely important to me. Of course, a woman, I remember dating this one woman who lived in Atlanta. I dated this woman and she was like, wow, I adopted two kids. I adopted my nephew and I adopted my son, Armani. Adopted him at 16, he's 20 years old. She ended up telling me one day, I was working on this video for this foster care agency that I sit on the board for. And she said, I don't know why anybody would even adopt somebody. Why would you even adopt somebody else's problems? I said, excuse me?
That's not the word you were about to use. What?
So she said, adopt somebody else's problems. I said, what? She said, you don't even know what kind of issues these kids have or whatever. And then I said, you know, I adopted two kids. She said, yeah, and you have so many problems with your son and this. And I was listening. Now, do you think that was going to ever work? Absolutely not. Mm-mm. That girl got vetoed like a bad bill right after that conversation. That was just it. It was just like, again, core value. You are not aligned with me. Because I'm also in the process of building a foster home for foster boys. You think I'm going to marry a woman that now this big heavy lift that I'm doing, raising all this money, the whole time she's sitting like, I don't even know why are you doing this? Because why are you trying to take care of other people's problems? And these kids are crazy and this. It's not going to be aligned with me. Mm-hmm. And so one of those things that, because I don't reveal the blueprint to my heart with people in these social media streets, but one of those core values that I promote a lot is I need a woman that loves motherhood. A woman, even if it's not our biological child, that you can take my kids as your own, you know, and be like, no, that's my son. Not be like, that's his kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, that's his kids.
This is our baby. Yeah. And our grandbaby.
Exactly. Don't want to hear that that's yours. Because I'm not going to do the same thing, no matter how many kids she can have. She got one or three. I'm not going to be like, well, that's your kids. I'm going to treat those kids like they're my own. I have practice in doing that with total strangers that God told me to adopt or whatnot. So from a core value, that's why I say I don't have a type. Of course, she has to be attractive by my standard. And attraction changes so much. You know, I could look at one woman and say, it's something about her. She's very attractive to me. And they'd be like, really? Oh, I think you can get a woman better than that. I'd be like, what are you judging by? Because what I judge by is something innate. It's something that she illuminates from her that draws me to her. Mm-hmm. You know, and we hear that thing about, we got this, they had this magnetic vibe about them. That's because it's something that's pulling you towards them. And so that's what I look for more than just physical features or whatnot. And so those core values, that's my type. If we're going to make type some of those things without going to my list.
What's the turnoff?
Selfishness, entitlement, a woman that lacks accountability, a woman that is very demeaning, you know, that can talk to you condescending, an argumentative woman. We can keep talking about this. But
tell me, because clearly you have a list.
I have a list that I could just recite. It's in part of my core. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of those things are really important. Like, and selfishness. I like a giver. One of the things that I've been in relationships before where I'm the type of person, I go pick up a homeless man. I had this whole web series called Home Blessed Life where I would go do random acts of kindness to a homeless community. One of my first videos came from me doing this transformation of this homeless guy. This was back in 2017 or 18. And that video went viral to the tune of 27 million views on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I took this homeless man out, took him out to eat, got him in the hotel, did a whole makeover on him and whatnot. And that video went viral. I partnered with the news station in Dallas. But I say all that to say that I was dating a woman. I knew a woman before that didn't allow me to do that. You know what I'm saying? Well, my ex-wife, I'll just say it. My ex-wife didn't like the fact that I would do stuff like that. I'm always giving to people. She's like, why you always give? Why you always get helping people out? Now, she was right in the sense that I need to be more balanced because I lacked balance in that area. I would give people oftentimes my last, and then now I'm without. Yeah. You know, so I do accept her wisdom of saying, instead of saying stop giving to people, she should have said, put balance around it. Mm-hmm. But she didn't like the fact of people. She'll say people are homeless because of their own mistake. Don't be trying to help them or whatnot. And I was like, well, biblically, we're supposed to help the homeless. We're supposed to help the woman that the widow. We're supposed to help those things. So misalignment. So I need a woman that is operates in generosity. And even if she doesn't stop me or hinder me from operating in generosity. That's why the stuff you said earlier, I was like, take your phone back.
Throw that phone back.
I rebuke your phone.
So I created Full Transparency because I felt like there was an element of being human that was missing from a lot of the influencers that we see on social media, a lot of the entrepreneurs. Like, everything became about lifestyle and achievement, right? Everything became about how much money you made that month or that year, what car you're driving, what clothes you wear, and the human element had been taken out of what we see and what's being shown on social.
This is an interesting moment because I'm like, did you say this before in the video or am I having a deja vu moment?
You must be having a deja vu moment. So I created Full Transparency. When we were thinking about concepts and what would we talk about on this podcast, I settled upon this because that's something that's important. I've always built my brand with the intention of not exposing lifestyle, right? I came from a network marketing environment where it's lifestyle. It's about what you drive. And I share some wins, right? Like, I share when I purchased my mom a home or my daughter a car, things like, but you can't look at my social media and see all of these luxuries that I'm just throwing in your face. And that was very important to me because I always knew that that wasn't sustainable.
Yes.
So when I bring people on to Full Transparency, my team and I, we try to invite or secure guests that I can learn something from that I believe would be completely transparent and I can grow and evolve, right?
Yeah.
So when you created Dear Future Wifey, you said that it was therapeutic for you. It was you growing through the moment.
Yeah.
But do you also use Dear Future Wifey as a icebreaker for potential women that you can date?
You know, I started thinking about that over the last year because that kind of hit me. I was like, why don't I do that? And I will.
He said, I will. I hadn't before, but I'm about to.
I will.
Because it's a lead magnet of all lead magnets.
It is. And the reality is that the reason why I would use that to vet a woman is because I know where I want to transition Dear Future Wifey to become. Meaning, Dear Future Wifey was my personal journey, but at first I had a vision. I was talking to his network and they were like, what happens if you find your wife? I said, well, I'm a end Dear Future Wifey. I'm a knight, another bachelor to go on this journey. And then me and my wife, we'll create our own podcast. They said, no. I said, what you mean? They was like, you tell me we would invest in you and we build this together. And then you decide to just walk away from it and put somebody else. They said, they want you. I said, well, I mean, I've learned I don't be married to stuff. Like, I learned how to transition. I know how to evolve from situations. That is a season. I don't get stuck in seasons. Mm-hmm. And they was like, just be open to suggestions. Let us just talk to you. And they began to share with me the importance of continuing to curate this thing. Said, what would be wrong with her coming on the podcast with you instead of you creating something totally different? And I said, well, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is a conversation I had last January. And I said, I never thought about that. And they said, yes, just bring her on the podcast. And y'all keep doing this. You just said you want to have a podcast, you know, a new podcast with you and your wife. So I say all that to to say that whatever woman that God blessed me with, it is important for her to come on the podcast and we have conversations even before people even know we're dating or whatnot. Or it may not even be that we're dating. She just comes on the guest and I fall in love with her, be like, you know what? I like this conversation. And then we try to explore that. And then because I know that the transition of it, she will be my co-host.
I love how you are creating space and have this placeholder set for your future wifey. I think that is beautiful.
My home is John. Where's my phone? My home. Oh, my phone over here. My home. I named it. Hold on. I can't believe I just drew a blank of the scripture. John 14:3. Mm-hmm. That's what my home is branded as. When I went and bought my home last year, I bought a home for my future wifey. But in doing that, I called it John 14:3 because in that scripture says, I go to prepare a place for you. And so I said, I wanted to be very intentional on curating a space because I know that as men and as women, we can, especially the older we become, we don't even have space for a person in our life. Mm-hmm. And if you're not intentional about that, you would have curated your whole life and be like, I ain't got time. First, I ain't got time to even talk to you, to even build a relationship with you, let alone I don't have space for you to come into my world. I haven't intentionally carved out space for in niches where you need. I know my blind spots. I know what I need a woman for in my life. And I don't have it all together. And I'm self-aware enough to say that I need help, you know, and that's why the Bible says it's not good for man to live alone. I will send him a suitable helper. Mm-hmm. If I feel like I got it all together, I don't need you. I'm like, girl, let me tell you something. I make this a year. I got this. I got my own house. I got this. I don't have to. I don't need nobody to cook for me. I got Factor Meals that send me meals every day. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. I need a wife. I need a woman. And so I create space for her.
I believe that one of the most unfortunate thought processes from a man or a woman is to have the belief that you have it all together so much that you don't need love from someone else. I know that it is a huge, wildly popular thought process. I see the conversations that are happening that says, well, what value does marriage bring a man when he has it all together? Or what value does a man bring to a woman when she's this, that, and the other? And I just think it's such an unfortunate thought process for someone to ever believe that they have it together to the point where they don't need anybody else.
There's a great prophet by the name of LL Cool J. And he said, when I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the walls and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl who is sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because that's the reality. And that has been ingrained in my brain since I was a young boy.
Yeah.
Because we need love. And you heard this rapper, this masculine dude that women find so attractive. And he says, I need love.
I need love.
I need love. Mm-hmm. And so the reality, and he's in a very healthy, thriving marriage for what we can see. Mm-hmm. And for years he's been married. And so I want that to reverberate across these internet streets that we need love. And yeah. When we say that we don't, it's because we're fearful of it, because we're in total fear that the love that we extend will not be reciprocated. We've had our hearts mismanaged in bad relationships. And then we say, man, if I fall for this woman, she could truly hurt me. Mm. I lead with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Hurt me, because I'm going to give you everything. Mm-hmm. So that if it doesn't work out, I can say, I gave it my best shot. I did an episode in January of 2023 where I shared, and I didn't want to do this, I'll be honest, I did not want to share where I was being this vulnerable sharing about the breakup of my relationship. I did not want to do that. I was sitting on my couch on New Year's Eve. Remember, she broke up with me December 27th. Mm-hmm. So my whole world is like, this is crazy. My daughter was getting married on the 30th of December. She was supposed to come down to Dallas to go to my daughter's wedding. And we was going to bring New Year's in together. And so I was just like, wow. So now I'm reimagining my life now. You know what I'm saying? I don't even think she noticed. I had a meeting to go meet with the jeweler on January 6th to get this custom ring done. and even still went to that meeting, even after it ended. I said, I'm just going to talk to y'all, because they had already drew up the ring and all that. And I went, flew out there to go look at it. And I was just like, they was like, we just going to believe God, this is going to come back. And I was just like, so this is crazy. It's like, this is like, what do you do in this limbo stage? And so that's what happened. Just very day, she and I still cool though. But the reality was, God said, I need you to be your guest on this episode. And I said, man, these people gonna know I was in a relationship. I was dating somebody. I ain't told nobody that. He said, go ahead, do it, Mr. Dear Future Wifey. Because all these women out here thinking that you really don't want nobody. Share this season. I said, I want to share the win. I want to, because my whole thing is I don't date in secret. I date in private. Mm-hmm. And so if you're around, I ain't going to be walking 20 steps ahead of my woman. I'm going to be holding her hand or whatever. If you see us, you see us. You take a picture, you take a picture of us. I don't care. But I'm not going to be posting on social media until I propose. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would make. My first post will be I'm engaged. I ain't going to go and do an Issa Rae and post when we get married, but I'll do an engagement. And so God told me, do that episode. And I was like, man, I can't do it. I said, my heart is still tender right now. I can't do it. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I promised myself I'm not going to cry. You know, I'm going to maintain a gangster. Mm-hmm. And I started doing it. Yeah, I'm straight up thug.
I see it.
Yeah, see it all over.
In your cream there pajama set.
Yeah, my pajama set. Straight up thug. You know what I'm saying? Got to be. You know what I'm saying? And so I was sitting up there, and God told me to do the episode, and I began to release it. And in it, it was the most vulnerable episode I ever had done, because I was sharing my mindset. I was like, okay, all right. Because I was talking, I said, nope, I'm not finna be. I read the Facebook message that she had sent me of some letter that somebody else had written about when don't internalize love's leavings. Don't make it about you. Don't make it like, well, what was wrong with me? What was this or whatever? So I read this Facebook post, and then also in the midst of it, I began to talk about, I was like, okay, now I don't want to go back to my own toxic mentality where I'm finna go become an F-boy and I'm finna start smashing chicks and take the ideology in order to get over one, get under another. So I said, but I'm saying this in real time on a thing. I said, I'm telling you, I have a propensity to be out in these streets, and I'm trying not to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm talking through all of this, and then I go into a prayer with God. Mm. And I said, Heavenly Father, and tears start streaming down my face. And then I started singing, what do you do when you've done all you can? Mm-hmm. And seems like it's never enough. And I started worshiping God in that moment. I invited people into this secret place of me to really see who Dear Future Wifey really is. And it's just Terry. It's what my family called me, not Latarius R. Whitfield, but Terry. And you saw this man operate in pure vulnerability and full transparency. Hmm. And men walked up to me after that episode and said, say, bro,
yeah,
you had me right here, bro. He said, because we don't see men operate like that. But I'm telling you, every man cries in the dark. Michael Bazin wrote a book called Men Cry in the Dark.
Men Cry in the Dark.
We do. We're not going to sit there and be on no social media crying like that. I'm crazy enough to do that. Or you see somebody, some viral person that goes crazy and they, you know, in whatever their moment, they cry and then they make them a meme or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But it's, we don't have a safe space as a man to say, most women don't believe that men hurt from breakups.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, oh, he just going to get another one. No, he looks like he went and got another one, but his heart is still with you.
His heart is still with you. Lateris, I have to get you to your event. I could have this conversation for another hour.
Are you kicking me out? Is that the nice way of kicking me out?
I am about to. Well, no, I have to take you. I'm like, I got to drive you. Kicking us out. I can have this conversation with you for another hour. I believe that the world needs to hear more conversations from successful men. Perspective from successful men. Because it's no secret that women desire love at all ages. But there's this notion that's out there that once you've hit, because you're pushing 52, okay? You're pushing 50.
I receive it.
And let's just be clear here. Look, they be like, well, when women reach a certain age, we got to deal with you being stuck in your ways, and this, that, and the other, and you become undesirable and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell y'all something about what happens to y'all physically when you begin to age. These 20-something year olds be gagging at the idea of having to sleep with your loosened balls.
You say loosened?
Loosened. Because they have dropped a couple of inches, baby. And they be like, bleh. Okay, but rents do, but the Louis Vuitton.
Wait, when you heard the testimony from the 20-year-olds or something?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's a blog about it.
She said loosened.
With your loosened situation. No, but in all seriousness.
Oh, God.
Aging is a blessing.
It is.
Being, giving, and receiving love at every single age is a blessing. I do, though, encourage you guys that have something good when you're young to hold on to it.
That part.
To maintain it, to water that grass, yes. Because the grass is not ever greener on the other side. The grass is green where you put that fertilizer down.
Facts.
All right? Where you pull those weeds out, where you take care of it and you maintain it. We want to maintain everything else except for a relationship.
Yep.
I personally believe that relationships should come with continued education. I think we may have had a conversation about this. I personally believe that just like you have to have continued education for your real estate license and in cosmetology and for all of these specialized business industries, why are we not at the time that like renewing our vows every 2 years, but proving that we went through some kind of training, some kind of counseling? Because without that level of accountability, people are not focused on nurturing, watering their grass, pulling out their weeds, sprinkling that fertilizer, all right, pulling out that water hose. And we have to do those things. If you have something that is good, that's in alignment with God's will over your life, you keep it, you water it, you nurture it. Because the older you get, it does become more challenging to find who and what's for you, but not because there's a limited supply. Men and women are everywhere. They're in your DMs and they're in mine. But it's because when you're getting older, you learn so much about yourself. And when you are learning and evolving alone, it's a very different experience than learning and evolving with someone together. And then that person, man or woman, has to come to you more whole.
Yep.
And that's where the limitations start to really show themselves.
That was good closing.
That's a good closing.
Yeah.
Mr. Future Wifey. No. You're not Mr. Future Wifey.
Well, they do call him Mr. Dear Future Wifey.
Mr. Dear Future Wifey. Lateris, this has been an absolute pleasure. All of Lateris's details are going to be wherever you're watching this video or listening to this video. We got to have you back. I can't wait to come on your platform because
I'm going to get all in your business.
You were just all in my business.
Oh,
now.
No, it's going to get, because there's some stuff that we got to unpack about how you were dealing with these long distance relationships. And it was because I think that's important.
All right. So that said, we're about to get out of here, you guys. Mm-hmm. As usual, drop your biggest takeaway from today's episode. I'm thankful that I was able to feature a successful entrepreneur man here who's doing extremely well for himself, who is still in pursuit of his future wifey. I will see you guys next week. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.